Christ is in our midst.
He is there, shall be.
As all of us have journeyed throughout our lives, we have undoubtedly discovered that unfortunate truth that sometimes along the journey, people offend us, people hurt our feelings, people do us wrong. We discover this very early in our journey, even from our childhood, that people sometimes treat us in a way that we are not happy with. But if we're honest with ourselves, and as we grow and we mature, we also recognize that we ourselves are guilty of some of the very same things, that we ourselves, in fact, hurt others, do them wrong, offend others. And the only medicine that's effective for these hurts and these offenses along life's journey is the medicine of forgiveness. We need to forgive even as we need to be forgiven. And the parable from the gospel text today illustrates this so beautifully. It illustrates the beauty and the joy that is in that exchange of forgiveness. But it also illustrates the ugliness of unforgiveness. Of course, all of the parables of Christ are stories to illustrate heavenly truths, and this is no exception to that. There's an image of the kingdom of heaven here found in this parable. The merciful king that we see in the parable is the king of heaven, the Lord of glory, the Lord himself. That enormous debt that one servant holds, that unpayable debt, it represents the enormous debt of our sins that no one could ever repay. And the unmerciful servant is ultimately to be seen as ourselves and how we treat others in that exchange with our fellow servant, which represents the people in our lives. Just as the king forgave the debt of that servant, that great debt that he could not possibly repay, so it is that God forgives us the tremendous debt of our sins. And as that servant went out and found his fellow servant who owed him a few bucks and demanded repayment immediately, so it is that we, after receiving grace, after receiving the forgiveness of God in our lives, often go to other people and to demand a higher standard of them than we expect of ourselves. While we want to be forgiven of God, we want to hold a grudge. We want to hold them accountable to ourselves. We want to stand in that position over them. We withhold forgiveness and hold on to grudges, and we think that we're justified in doing so. But this parable reminds us very clearly that in the eyes of God, this is not the case, that unforgiveness is never justified, and in fact, in the eyes of God, it's something that's reprehensible. Because it's hypocrisy for us to expect forgiveness and not give forgiveness. We somehow think that in our lives that by withholding forgiveness from others, somehow we are holding them in our control, that we are somehow punishing them for the wrong that they've committed to us. But in reality, it's kind of silly. Because in most cases, when somebody hurts our feelings or does us wrong, when we withhold forgiveness from them, they don't even realize that that's even going on. They don't recognize that as something that's punishing them. And if they did, most of the time they wouldn't even care. So why is it that we hold on to unforgiveness thinking that somehow we're maintaining this control over others? In reality, it doesn't do anything like that. But in reality, what it does do, it strips us of a quality of life that we could possess. Because unforgiveness begins to take a toll upon us. And it puts our soul ultimately in peril. Forgiveness is embedded in the gospel message itself. Forgiveness is a basic Christian value. Christ instructs us to love our enemies. Think about that just for a moment. How is it possible to love our enemies if we think that we cannot forgive everyone? We have to forgive. Forgiveness is part of the equation of the Christian life. In the Lord's Prayer, what do we pray? We pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, we cannot bypass forgiveness. There is no short way around it. We have to embrace that forgiveness is for all of us. It's not just something that we receive, but forgiveness is something we also must give. It's a concept that touches all of our lives, young and old alike. Whether we've been a Christian for 60 years or whether we've just begun the first steps of the Christian journey, forgiveness is one of those essential building blocks of the Christian life. It's a basic concept, and yet, even though it's basic, it never is easy. And it doesn't necessarily get any easier with a little bit of practice of forgiving people. Because when we address the issue of forgiveness, we're addressing wounds and hurts that are deep in our heart. And it's never pleasant to go to that place in our heart where we're hurt, where we're wounded, where we're offended, and to have to offer that exchange of forgiveness. All of us face this concept. And we have to recognize that this concept is dangerous if we don't deal with it. Because if we do not truly forgive from our hearts, that unforgiveness that is there can quickly become something that puts us at risk, something that puts our soul in peril, something that begins to have consequences in our life. The unforgiveness that we hold on to, it becomes like a cancerous growth to our soul. It begins to grow and take over. When unforgiveness is untreated, it quickly turns into bitterness. And when bitterness takes hold of our hearts, when it takes root in our heart, it poisons everything in our life. I'm sure all of us have encountered people that we recognize are very bitter in this life. And you recognize just a conversation with them that everything that they have to say, no matter if it's good, bad, or in between, it's laced with this bitterness that comes through. We recognize it when we have that exchange with others, but what we must recognize is that is the very person we become if we do not forgive from our heart. That unforgiveness turns into bitterness. And then we begin to see the world through that bitterness that festers in our hearts. It poisons our outlook. And even the good things in our life begin to be colored by the bitterness that we're looking through. Everything in this world, even the beautiful things of this world, suddenly become ugly because we're looking through this bitter place in our life. See, forgiveness is more than just about the person that has wronged us. Forgiveness is also about we ourselves. Not only the person that offended us, but it's about us. We need to forgive because unforgiveness is not an option. We need to forgive because if we do not forgive, our lives become bitter. We need to forgive because we need to let go of those burdens that we carry, the burdens of the grudges that we hold upon our back. Why carry the offense? Why carry the hurt around? Because by forgiving, we can unburden ourselves that heavy load of the hurt and the grudge. By forgiving, we are released to pursue a new path in life. And to once again, to find beauty in this life. Every year, as we begin the Lenten journey, the day before Great Lent begins, we celebrate Forgiveness Sunday. It's an important step in the journey of Lent to begin with this exchange of forgiveness, to remember how God has forgiven us, and it's in another gospel passage how we are taught to forgive. And that theme of the day comes out in so many elements from Great Vespers that night, when we celebrate the rite of forgiveness, exchanging forgiveness with one another. Every year I like to make the point that sin is a cosmic event. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, it didn't just affect them. It affected the world in which they lived. The world fell with them. And the world was changed as a result of sin entering into this world. Death enters the world. And we recognize that historically, but what we fail to recognize often in our lives is that every time we sin, we are actually contributing to that chaos of the world. We're contributing to the chaos that was begun with Adam and Eve's sin. But forgiveness is something altogether different. Forgiveness is likewise a cosmic event, but it's a cosmic event for good. The grace of God, God's forgiveness, entered into this world through Christ. Through the cross, forgiveness triumphs over sin. So what we must understand is every time that we forgive, we are participating in this power of God's grace, the miracle of God's grace. Instead of contributing to the chaos of this world by piling our sins on the heap of humanity, we contribute to the redemptive process of grace by forgiving. By forgiving, we step into the streams of grace. We participate in something good, something that is so much greater than ourselves, something that is so much bigger than our petty offenses. It's good to know these things, but it's still difficult, practically speaking, to forgive sometimes. And so practically speaking, how do we forgive? I think we always need to be remembering, keep in mind, that forgiveness is a choice of our will. Forgiveness doesn't begin because we feel like it. Forgiveness doesn't begin because I have warm feelings towards the person that has offended me. Because if we wait for that day to come, that day may never come. So we don't wait for our emotions to suddenly get in this warm place where we want to forgive the people that have wronged us. We begin by a choice of our will. And it's like so many other things of the spiritual life and of our life in general. It's a discipline. We choose to do it. We choose to live our life. We choose to set a course that's towards forgiveness. You know, we don't fast because I feel really like I want to deny myself today, right? We don't take up our cross because, you know, it would feel really good for me to deny myself today, right? We don't base it on our emotions. We make choices in our life. It's a choice of our will. And so is forgiveness. It's a choice. It begins as a choice of our will. We don't wait until we feel like it because we may never feel like it. So by committing ourselves to it and making the step, we simply say the words that I forgive. And we, I think, begin in our hearts saying it to ourselves quietly. I forgive whoever that might be that has wronged us, that has offended us. And then guess what? It's not over, because forgiveness doesn't happen in one fell swoop usually. Forgiveness, most of the time, on the deep wounds of our heart, it takes time. It's a process. And so we forgive and we keep forgiving. And so we start the process that way by saying we forgive, and then we keep that process up. And every time we remember the offense, every time we feel the hurt that has come to our lives, we return to that place and we forgive all over again. And we say, I forgive, and we name that person. And perhaps as the journey of life continues, maybe it's right to have reconciliation with the person. Sometimes maybe it's not possible or it's not a realistic thing because of the nature of the offense that has taken place. But sometimes it is completely appropriate. And so then it grows to a greater level where we exchange forgiveness face to face with the person that has wronged us. You see? And it's a process that we set our heart to follow. And in time, by committing our life that way and choosing to forgive, and every time we think about that, we say we forgive, guess what? Our heart eventually starts to come around and say, okay, I can do this. But it's a process, and we have to recognize that. Practically speaking, I think it's always a good practice also in exchanges of apologies to include the words of forgiveness. Not to just say, I'm sorry, or not just to say, I apologize, but to add, please forgive me, because it's an exchange that is so powerful. And likewise, when someone apologizes to us, whether they've asked for our forgiveness or not, it's always a good practice to throw the words of forgiveness in that and say, I forgive you, because it's a powerful exchange. There's something meaningful that takes place in that. Whether we recognize it or not, we're tapping into that power of God, the power of grace, the power of forgiveness. And simply by using those words of forgiveness, we invite God's powerful grace into the equation of our life. So we must recognize God has forgiven us a tremendous debt of sin, a debt that none of us could ever repay. And so it is. Because God has forgiven us, we have to live our life forgiving others. We must forgive those who hurt us, those who wrong us, those who offend us. We cannot be hypocrites expecting God's forgiveness on one hand while withholding forgiveness from others on the other hand. We must recognize how difficult it is to carry grudges. Carrying grudges is truly a burden that becomes a burden that is too great for us. It's good for us to lay down that burden, to let it go, and to forgive. By forgiving, we participate in the power of God's grace. By forgiving, we contribute rather than contributing to the chaos of this world like sin. By forgiving, we contribute to the redemptive process of God's grace in this world. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us forgive even as God has forgiven us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.